Duration of the interview with Sabino started at on April 9th, 2001. So.
Okay, well, I was saying that.
And from then we figured, well, no, it is not enough to keep them food. So we started with the leadership training, where we identified people, potential leaders in the camps, so that they would learn some of the leadership skills and go back to the camp, so that they would organize community in the camp. And it was through them that we were able to distribute the food instead of just one food going just to one person or a couple of families. And as we learn from the organizing project, as we learn from the Campaign for Human Development, as far as the getting at the root cause of poverty and all this, you know, it led us to have institutes, you know, leadership institutes. And in the meantime, we organized the churches. And it took us a long time to be able to convince all the churches that it was important to come together, to have retreats, and to be able to served, you know, the camps. And one thing that we emphasized was that this was not about proselytizing, you know, bringing people to our own church, but rather this was an opportunity for the churches to express in action the faith they professed in the church, you know, in their temple. And so that was that. I emphasized that all along because I felt that that there was an opportunity, really. It was a faith type of expression by the work that you would do in the camps. Well, this is just recent information. Last year, we started questioning about our going out to the camps to distribute food and blankets and all this, you know, and so we decided to talk to the churches and say, look, you love to go to the camps, to adapt the camp, you know, to all these things, because you have done great work. Why don't we make or build a committee of members of churches so that you would devote your time doing that? And Bridget Cook is the one that is still in the process of organizing, and it looks like this is going to be the very first year that the churches will be on their own, but coordinated by a committee, but not necessarily central as central. Although Centro will provide and facilitate, you know, this process, but there's a committee from of members of different churches that will go back to their churches and organize, you know, the work. The migrant camps are not as full or as large, you know, as they used to be. It's a lot smaller now. In fact, this year we have not heard, but not all the camps will be open. So it will be easier as far as the churches, you know, to take care of the camps. And we are also, you know, very, you know, we are right there, you know, looking at what's happening. But we are not going to leave this work because we don't want it. No, we are leaving this work. We will want to emphasize the empowerment of people. We want to emphasize English. We want to emphasize leadership development. In fact, we are going to have our institutes for people that we have identified as potential leaders from the camps, from the settler community, from, you know, from within this community. And we our institutes will take place in May 12th. On a whole Saturday, and May 19th. So we want to devote our time into organizing. We want to devote our time to going into camps and talking to people and saying, look, if you want something, you need to connect with each other. There has to be a strong voice, not a weak voice, not one, but many in one. You know, this is the kind of the idea. So that's what we want. We are going to devote our time from now on, from this month on. Mm-hmm. And so we are looking at what's happening with the churches, yes, because that was our previous commitment. But now we want to be a facilitator, and they agree. This committee agreed to accept this responsibility. You know, so that is what is happening right now with the camps.
To accept the responsibility of trying to empower the people in the camps.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, as far as, and from the camps. From the camps, we have found leadership that have organized the presence whenever there is whenever we need to raise our voice for something. Like one good example is when we took the blue cabin from the blue camp into Salem. Mm-hmm. See, people from the camps themselves organize themselves to come out, you know, and be present over there. We had a good about 300 people over there, you know, from the migrant camps, and
at Camp Azul, you mean, or
at no? the in Salem?
Oh, in Salem, right, you know, right.
To protest for the living conditions.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And we are in connection with the camps, of course, you know, but that we see our role more of a empowerment and a strengthening, you know, and in helping out in connecting the people and you know, to be able to have a voice, you know, and let the churches provide the very basic and immediate charitable work, which is bring them food and bring them clothes and bring them, you know, take them to the doctors and all that, you know. And as long as somebody's doing that, you know, then we can move on to something much higher in the sense that it's more difficult work, mm-hmm. where you devote more time, you know. But that is our kind of our thrust, you know, at this point.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Sabino. Well, you know, I've taken a lot of your time, and I really appreciate the fact that you've given me this time and told me the story, your own story and Centro's. But it's probably time to wrap it up here. But I'll give you a last opportunity. Is there anything else that we haven't talked about that you think would be important to add to this interview?
Yes, one thing that occurs to me that we have not talked about is the arts and culture.
Aha, uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. And I know you've got
in arts and culture,
some activities, some
we
programs.
Envision arts and culture not so much as a way to a pastime, you know, something to spend our time on, you know, or to have fun, but it is a tool. And it is a tool that has taken a long time for foundations to believe, and so far only two have really shown faith in what we are saying. One foundation is PGE Enron, that is going to give us a check of $10,000 next week, the 17th of April, and Hoover Foundation. We say that when we talk about arts and we want to teach folk dances and theater, we are not talking about bringing someone from the Schnitzer Hall, you know, from the God only knows, you know, where, what university to come and teach us theater. Or we are talking about community-based empowerment. We are talking about the popular education method, which means that you already have something with you. You already have gifts. Perhaps you don't know, but which are they, you know? And how to identify those gifts, you know? Perhaps in theater or singing or guitar or even dances, you know? In dancing, what do you have? And then let's grow from there. Once we bring you to a point where we cannot facilitate any further professional or any further professional help, then we will approach the professionals and say, look, which is the next step? The arts, it's a tool to empower people. In other words, I'm gonna give you an example. the ladies that make these piñatas, they did not stop making these piñatas as beautiful as you look at them like that.
Mm-hmm. Are these for the Children's Day celebration by any chance?
Well, some of them are. Some of them are. But this, we don't have a place to put them.
So
but,
we're sitting in a room now that has, what, one, two, three, six piñatas.
These are just
here.
Six. There are some more over there and more over there and some more back there. Okay. But they did not start like that. These women were living in isolation in the apartment houses. They could not even go to the market, you know, without their husbands going with them. They were, some of them were physically abused. Some of them have, you know, tragic lives, you know, in their past. So they wouldn't even dare to say their name aloud or to say their name in public, period. Well, the first thing we said, okay, why don't we just tell each other a story and see how we can get support? But the women themselves, you know, after two or three sessions, they said, you know, well, are we just going to talk and that's it? So why don't we do something with our hands? We know how to sew, we know how to embroider, we know how, the question started, you know, well, what do you do? What can you do? What do you used to do at your home? Oh, I used to make rebozos. I used to make canastas. I used to make piñatas. I used to make this and that. Well, why don't we share, you know, and each one has his turn, take turns, and then we learn each other. We learn everybody else is, what everybody knows. So that's how we started. So what they identified the very first project, you know, what would be the first thing that we should do as a group? So they said flowers. It was close to, right around this time, about two years ago. And they said, you know, why don't we make flowers for Mother's Day. So they made some flowers, made out of felt and you know, stuff.
Artificial flowers.
Flowers. Mm-hmm. And they found that they could sell them. And all of a sudden, the women that could not even say their name, they looked at somebody appreciated that what they did. And so today, they have gone through courses about how to match colors and how to combine colors, how to, you know, these things that are more professional. They work with needlework to make some tapestry. They make tapestry and they make these nice, beautiful rugs that are just as nice as the ones from the East, you know, the Arabs, what the Arabs bake, you know. And the women are different. I have seen them speak in public in the archdiocese at the one of those conventions, you know, where all the projects come together, you know, and even with congregations. These women that could not even say their name because they were so ashamed themselves, they you know, self-worth was something that was not in their minds. And now they are capable of talking to people and telling them, you know, what gifts they have and how they are put together into a beautiful thing like, the piñata is the last thing, you know, but in these rugs or in some other activities that other, you know, artwork that they have developed. This is empowerment. We have found that through art, we empower people, we strengthen people, and people can take the next step. In our theater, children or young people that have come through this theater all of a sudden begin to realize that there is something in them, there is a strength inside, that there is a potential that they have not discovered, or that perhaps they do not have a place to express it. But now that they do, they are different people. You know, so this is the type of art, when we talk about art and culture, as something that we empower people and not just something to entertain people.
Uh-huh.
See? And so what we are going to do on April 28th, which is the Children's Day, it is not so much, these people will teach others, you know, how to do art. And also, one of the things that we really want to do through Children's Day is to bring the community together. It is not just the Hispanic children or the Hispanic community that will celebrate, but it is everybody. That's why right now we have about close to 16 organizations between Forest Grove and Cornelius that are coming together to organize this big event, which is going to be a community celebration.
And I imagine that's another aspect or another value of pursuing the arts in this way, is it's also a way of reaching out to the larger community.
That is right. That's right. And eventually, you know, if this is a bridge building, this is where people get to know each other and appreciate each other. You know, it's a wonderful way to build a community, a diverse community, and a strong community. Mm-hmm. You know, Washington County can talk all they want about diversity, but one thing is to talk about diversity as a concept, and another one is to be able to face the other as other and work together.
Uh-huh.
And that has not happened yet. I have yet to see county commissioners take that challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So far, it has not happened. And in the instances where it looks like it's about to happen, something has taken place to prevent that from happening.
So that's still in the future. Still something that...
It is in the future, but it is something urgent. If we really want something to happen and take advantage of the strength that there is in the community at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe as just a final question, what do you see in your own future, Sabino, and in Central's future? What do you think?
I think that from what I see right now, I feel that Central is taking a direction that is most meaningful to the community, and it is not just satisfying needs.
Mm-hmm.
That is something something powerful. At the same time, I realize that this organization is struggling with funding, because it is not easy to be what we are right now without the support of somebody. Up to now, we have had the support of foundations, but that support, I know, is going to come to an end. So it's important, the support of the community, now that we have built this base, that the community also come along and invest. Mm-hmm. in this organization for this purpose. Those are the second thing. The third is that, as long as this is underway, if somebody can come along and take my place, that would be great. Because I plan to go back to Mexico and spend my time there. I developed my own business down there, you know, as interpreter, I mean as translator, and you know, it was a language school, and I think I want to go back to that.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that's a plan of yours for the future at
that's
some point.
So huh? Far, you know, if I die, that's fine. That's, you know, I think that I did what I thought it was best in the best way I knew how to do it, so I have no regrets or nothing. I can die right now and die in peace and feel that I will be, that somebody will continue.
Yes.
Because our staff has been trained in our constant meetings, you know, as to the analysis of how to walk together and how to do things. So,
yeah,
I have done my job, I think.
Well, I think that that what you've accomplished here and what everybody that came before you accomplished here is quite remarkable, and I thank you for your good work, and thanks again for also telling us about it here.
Thank you for your patience.